The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
The Red Devil had his revenge over the weekend, but the real winners were the fine people of Chaffee, Missouri. One of the many things we're going to talk about tonight on Pro Wrestling Unscripted here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. Hey, it's Pokemon Month here on Podzilla 1985. And of course, we want to pay homage to the best Pokemon, Machamp, who would do well in wrestling because he has four arms.
Who wins in a fight, Machamp or Goro?
Goro?
Because that
no, Machamp. Because I don't remember Machamp ever being beaten by The Miz.
That's true.
That's a movie reference, Allie. They made a film based on Mortal Kombat. And Goro got beat by Johnny Cage, which I was fine with.
I also love the intro. One of the intro conversations that they have in Mortal Kombat X is Johnny Cage walks up and says, "Don't you owe me a pair of sunglasses?"
That's awesome. I love that, too. God, that's such a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Hope Injustice 2 lives up to that. Anyway, stay tuned for Pokemon-related stuff all week. That's your PWU Pokemon.
Yeah. We talked about Machamp once.
Machamp. That sounds like a very classy version.
I almost even said, and The Miz is Johnny Cage, but Johnny Cage was not in Pokemon. I'm just remembering that.
But The Miz should be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got other stuff to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about Hell in the Cell and how angry I was at the end of that, and how angry a lot of people were at the end of that. I talked to some people that weren't too happy. We got some Undertaker news. We're going to talk about Curtis Hawkins. Is it Curtis Hawkins or Curt Hawkins?
Curt Hawkins.
I put Curtis Hawkins for some reason. I think I mixed him and Curtis Axel.
I was
going to
say, because you're still thinking about Curtis Axel.
Big news for the Cruiserweights. Bad news for the Cruiserweights. Bad news for TNA. Worst news for TNA. Terrible news for Austin Aries. And then some other stuff. So with me tonight, as always, we got the five-star man, Ace of Gray.
All five.
Who we didn't do the show last night because we were both tired.
I was so tired.
Yeah, and we want to apologize to you guys. We're looking forward to a new episode. But Villainous Month, if one, we were tired. Two, it's really hard to top having a topic.
That's actually what I was thinking of most of the day. Was it's like, because I was at work that morning and I wasn't having a great day. I'm just like, all right, well, what are we going to talk about? Like, it's the show coming off of Villainous Month. It's got to be something good.
Yeah. I
came up with nothing.
Because my first instinct, and you know we said we weren't going to talk about this, so I'm not going to get into it, but my first instinct a week away from the election is to talk about the election.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want to at the same time. So, yeah, we took a night off. I stayed home, and I was going to do stuff. Instead, I just laid on the couch, watched Bob play Battlefield until I literally fell asleep. Then he woke me up and forced me to play Battlefield with him. So I played it half asleep, had like the best game I've ever had. So I just need to go catatonic whenever I want to play Battlefield. It's a good game. Also with us tonight, our other Tuesday cohort of Allie Hebert.
Hello.
And the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
I saved you for last tonight.
Thank you. I
switched it up
a
little bit.
All right. Good.
Let's start off with some big news for all of us. We attended Cape Championship Wrestling. I know normally we save this for the end, but let's start with it because this is the biggest news for me. Mm-hmm. Cape Championship Wrestling held their newest show over the weekend on Saturday at the VFW in Chaffee, Missouri, The Red Devil's Revenge, and I want to talk about it. Before we do, just a quick note, in full disclosure, the men and women here at PWU are big fans of Cape Championship Wrestling. We know a lot of those guys. We're friends with a lot of them now.
We've become friends
with them through Cape Championship Wrestling. And you could say we're a little biased. We are. So I'm going to try real hard not to sound biased in this and be honest and true. And that's what we do here. We're journalists. That's what we are. So here we go. The show itself, and I know Dalton's a little nervous about this. Let's see how we get through this. The show itself was really good. I have never been disappointed at a Cape Championship Wrestling show.
Nope.
That it's the best you can spend your money on, and I absolutely stand by that 100%. This show, though, had more problems, I think, than the other shows that we've been to. Not at all the fault of the people in the ring.
Or even the people, like, in charge of it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This was just, it. As soon as we got there, it was just kind of like, okay, well, this one's going to be an uphill battle.
This one's going to be rough.
And again, like, overall, spoiler alert, like, we all had a really good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was a really great show. Like, this one actually almost impressed me more. Because it's like, okay, you know, this isn't just, oh, well, you know, they have really good conditions at, you know, the arena building or the Osage Center. so they can, you know, just have a good show.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, this is one of those like,
This was like that TNA house show years ago where they had to pull themselves out of the fire.
I mean, it wasn't that bad.
But they worked with what they had.
Oh yeah. And they did a great job with it.
Yeah. And that's exactly what Cape Championship Wrestling did. We walked in. The first problem was that it was in Chaffee. And I say that jokingly, but I also mean it kind of seriously because it's like, Cape Championship Wrestling. The fact that we were in Chaffee bugged me from the start. I know why they did it because we've talked to those guys and kind of found out more of why they did it. I wonder exactly how many of the Cape fans that have attended the shows went to the Chaffee show. I know there were a couple because I saw Jared Smith there. We saw Caleb was there. There were a couple guys that we've seen go to every show that were there. But there were also a lot of new faces that I didn't recognize. And, you know, you can say that the ring was terrible. And I've talked to a couple of the wrestlers who weren't a big fan of it. I won't name names just in case. They weren't a fan of the ropes. They sure as hell weren't fans of the fact that the ceiling was, if you stood up on the top rope, even
if you stood on the second turnbuckle, guys were on the second turnbuckle and couldn't raise their arms in like a pose because their heads were just inches away from the ceiling tiles.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you got a guy like Brandon Espinoza, who's a little shorter. You know, he's not short, but he's a little shorter and he's a high flyer.
Yeah.
And CJ Shine too, also another guy that likes to go to the top rope. And neither of those guys could do anything off the top. I think one person tried something, but it was really
careful. They tried to do like a springboard off of the ropes.
Yeah.
But it seemed like the ropes were so loose that there wasn't any snapback on it. It was just kind of it just gave without giving it back.
And that's what I think you know who I'm talking about. So told me the worst part about it was the ropes. Hitting those ropes was terrible. But stuff like that, you know, they did the best they could with that. It was held at a VFW. The ceiling is really what broke me. That was the part I hated. And that part drove me crazy.
It did until they actually worked it into an actual match.
And
which
that was funny.
I love.
Yeah, it was funny. I think James Ellsworth.
And Kazina.
Kazina and even Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
They all did the thing where they stood on the rope and every single one of them, I yelled, "Watch your head, please." And then Mardi Gras especially kind of looked at me and looked up and kind of touched the ceiling and just kind of went, gave me the shrug.
Yeah.
The worst part about it, though, because all of that stuff, as frustrating as it was, and it's something that you have to take when you go to an indie show, because this is not WWE. They don't have the production budget.
Well, they don't have the luxury of having their own ring that they can just take with them over a series of semi trucks.
Yes, this stuff they do all local.
Because I think they said they rented it
for the past three shows, or as long as I can remember. So they did the best they could with what they did, and I don't fault them because it was still a great show.
Yeah.
And we're not just saying that because we want to be friends with these guys. I lose friends daily. So if I lose them, I'm sorry, but that just happens. My biggest problem was the crowd.
Yes.
That Chaffee crowd, and I don't know if it's because it was the Chaffee crowd and not the normal Cape crowd. I don't know. But sometimes it felt like trying to pull teeth. We, the PWU gang, we go to these shows and we usually roll 12, 13 deep.
Yeah.
Normally.
Yeah.
And we're the loudest ones there. I can confirm that because I've heard it from Hunter and Billy and a couple of the other guys, Brandon. We're the loudest guys there. So we were trying to get the crowd into it and sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't. And I was talking to Billy Hills earlier today and telling him how frustrating it was trying to play along and follow along when you had guys who, you know, this is Brandon's hometown, so you had people trying to cheer him. You had a lot of smart, quote-unquote, fans in the audience that were trying to go against the grain. It was frustrating. I think I was more frustrated at this show as a fan than I've been at the other shows, ever since the first show, when I didn't know anybody.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out, okay, who do I cheer, who do I boo?
And that was one of the comments you made to me, too, was because we were because we kind of pride ourselves almost on being kind of like the cheerleaders.
We're the catalysts.
We really try to get the energy up. Because at that first show, no one really knows what it is. And I think that's kind of what it was, because I think it was Jason said that was the first ever wrestling show to ever be in Chaffee. Yep.
Jason Wells.
Yeah. Jason Wells
one of the head honchos.
Yeah. So, and that makes a lot of sense for people, especially if people who haven't followed any of the previous Cape stuff.
Right.
They're not following any of the stuff that goes down on Facebook. Any of the like interviews, anything like that. So them coming in and not really knowing what to do, and then on top of it, like maybe not being actual like wrestling fans,
more
as much
a
as
local
just like
crowd.
Oh, there's a thing going on.
Right.
Let's go check it out.
Which is how I felt the first show went here in Cape. Allie, you remember that?
Yeah.
It felt like there were just people that were going, oh, there's something happening. Let's go see it. And then I feel like the second and third shows were more of the actual fans that go, okay, we saw the first show. We're fans now. We want to see it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with the Chaffee show, almost they started fresh, mm-hmm. bringing it to a new crowd. And I absolutely get that. But for people that have been watching it for so long, like we have, it was a little frustrating to hear how quiet it was sometimes.
Right. Oh, and that was, yeah, because it's one of the things I think I told a couple of the guys that we talked to after the show is just like, you all deserved so much better reactions and like to be doing what you're doing, you know, the shots that Billy and Jason were giving each other and like, and that match that Austin and Brandon had, it's like, I really wanted it to be like people who would really appreciate it for what it was.
Yeah, because
as opposed to like, you know, just the cash, which I mean, I would love for this to end up being like the people who were there know they actually were into it and they want to come to more shows.
Yeah. Like if we have a Cape show, now you have the Chaffee crowd that they've just made.
Right. That they want to come up and see it.
That would be great. Because it was a good show and those guys bust their ass every time they go out there. Mm-hmm. That match between Billy and Jason, particularly was just brutal. I didn't expect the brutality that we saw in a lot of hard shots.
Yeah.
We were cringing during a lot of it.
Yeah.
And once again, not a bad match on the card.
No.
No.
Not a single one. Sarah Summers made her debut.
Yep.
Billy's sister, the wife, sorry, girlfriend, I don't know.
Same diff.
Same thing. She fought Mardi Gras, and that was a good match. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mardi Gras got a great reaction, and it was just like everything was on fleek, is what kids say nowadays.
Oh, my God.
Well, it was until you said it.
But at the end of the show, like, I was happy, and I love going, and I can't wait to go back. But at the same time, I was a little frustrated with how the event went. And right. Again, if any of those guys from CCW are listening, we can't do anything other than thank you for letting us in to the club
right.
and seeing what you guys do. And you guys are amazing from top to bottom. Every single person that's involved with CCW that we've met has been nothing but nice to us. Of course, we had Lee Montgomery and Jason Wells on last week, along with Brandon, the champion. All three of those guys are class acts. Mm-hmm. Billy Hills, hilarious and great. CJ Shine, we met at the last show, super cool guy. We hung out with Hollis at this show. He took pictures with us.
Honorary member
of Podzilla 1985 for one night. Took pictures. We got to meet James Ellsworth, mm-hmm. which was pretty cool. It was great top to bottom. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you what the worst part about that show was for me?
I think I know.
Whenever it was Brandon and Austin's match, and I had a little kid sitting behind me cheering for Brandon the entire time, and I'm cheering for Austin, and then somebody just says, hey, you know that's Brandon's kid, right?
Yeah, that's what Zach... I assumed you were going to say Zach was the worst part of the show.
Oh, no.
Former Pro Wrestling Unscripted co-host Zach Price, who threatened to show up here tonight... I don't know. Let's move past.
But yeah, no, I felt so bad because I was like, mess him up. Like, I was yelling, like, tap him out. Like, I was yelling mean things towards Brandon, and I didn't know his son was sitting directly behind me. And I was like, oh, man, and he's dressed as the Blue Power Ranger.
I feel like Brandon would think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, props to the kid who won the costume contest.
Yes.
Because the winner of the children's costume contest was dressed as Farmer Billy Hills.
Yeah, with the elbow pads and everything.
I talked to Billy about it earlier because he mentioned that was his favorite part of the night was the kid. Because Brandon or Billy loves kids.
And that was the thing is it's like if you listen to the episode where we had him on, the thing that he talked about was because we talked about Goldberg returning that night and him talking about wanting to be a superhero for the kids. And Billy's like, no, yeah, that's the main reason that he loves this so much is because he gets to, you know, he'll do anything for the kids.
And he said that kid was terrified of him at first, which I think is pretty funny.
It's because he could tell they didn't care.
I think my favorite moment of the night, and there was a lot of them. It was just a good show.
Yeah.
Jeff Odell'd Allie.
Again.
Allie got Odell'd.
Please stop saying that. It's disturbing.
But there was a part where I don't remember. I think it was Brandon wrestling. And I should have known better than to try to badmouth Brandon in his hometown. Mm-hmm. But there was one particular time where he got hit or something. And I just jokingly yelled out, get good. And then some guy behind me yells out, he is good.
He's the champ.
And I yelled back, well, then get better.
Some sad news coming out of that show, though.
Yeah, well, was, sort of sad.
Depends
on which one you're talking about.
I'm talking about the injury that happened. Austin Lane injured his hand chopping Brandon so hard.
Yeah. He actually came outside and went over to us at the barricade and was like, please check my hand. Is it okay? We're like, yeah, it's fine.
So good.
You're good. Yeah. Again, if you've never been to an indie show, especially if you're in this area, you owe it to yourself to go to Cape Championship Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. The interaction between the fans and the wrestlers.
And it's not even just like, I know a lot of people listening to this might be hesitant to like believe you on that because it's like, oh, well, they do the show. They get to talk to them. They actually know those guys. So they get the special treatment. It's not true because there were people on like the far, like the left side of where we were sitting that were also getting in people's faces and they were also getting that, the reactions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, they're catering directly to us.
No, they absolutely do not do that. The wrestlers just, they have fun.
Yeah.
Now, Jeff Odell will go out there and antagonize everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Billy Hills antagonizes everybody. And again.
From the moment he walks into the building.
He walks into the building and starts yelling at everybody.
We thought there was a fight breaking out at the front door.
I talked to him about that today, and he said that apparently he parked on the wrong side of the building, if I remember the story correctly. So he was just like, screw it, and walked in. Because he didn't walk in where the other wrestlers walked in. He just walked in through the main entrance.
Through the front door.
Yelling about, get out of my way.
Yeah.
Billy is the best heel on the roster.
Also, it was just fantastic whenever Asa and I stayed a little bit after to talk to Hunter. And we're walking out, and we're walking by Billy. He's talking to some people. And I think he called us turds. I don't remember, but he was like, hey, you two, you stay right there. And I was like,
Because we just gave him a wave. We didn't want to interrupt him. Because he was talking to some other people, but he just starts yelling at us to stop. Like, we're leaving. Yeah, I know. That's why I said stop.
Yeah, those guys are incredible. And like I said, there's no other wrestling place you can go to. You can't go to a WWE show and, you know, Roman Reigns is going to yell at you, hey, come here, let's talk.
No,
you know, Seth Rollins isn't going to pop up in the line to take pictures with you like Hollis did with us.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's just, those guys are awesome. Hunter is awesome. Ken is awesome. Everybody at that show was awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even though we did have a couple of frustrations with this show, it was a great time. But here's the important part is that on their Facebook, you go to facebook.com, look up Cape Championship Wrestling. They have a poll,
an
informal is the word I'm trying to think of. Thank you. Asking where they want you to, where you want them to go next. And, I think Cape is winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely agree. Go vote.
Most important vote you'll make this month.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I hope they come back to Cape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Osage Center just has such a great feel to it.
And the AC Brazzi Arena too. Like both of those
that's
places.
That's what I meant. Yeah. I meant the arena building.
Yeah.
Cause the arena building, it has those bleacher seats as well, as well as the floor seats, the way where the basketball, like the entrances come in.
Yeah.
There's a sense of a wrestling venue there as opposed to the other places, it does kind of feel like, okay, well, here's a venue where we're going to happen to putt wrestling.
And it's good for, it's fun for the whole family-ish.
They mostly keep it PG.
Mostly.
Like, there's a handful of slip-ups.
There was one time on here, and I have to mention it. This is the part that Dalton's going to cringe on. In the middle of the CJ Shine, Brandon Espinosa match, where Brandon looks at CJ, and I'm not going to say the words, but pretend I'm not censoring. He says, F you, CJ. And flips him off.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, loudly. Ken.
No. I mean, Ken knows. I'm sure
Ken was there.
What I didn't get about it was that this was not a feud.
Mm-hmm.
These two didn't have bad blood. There was no reason for Brandon to say that.
But I mean, in all fairness to Espinosa, he is a very intense competitor.
He is insanely intense.
Yeah. And as we were talking about it in the intermission, I was like, no, he's been known to do this. He was the same one that said to Billy Hills, die B-word during his match with at the homecoming show. He's very known to get a little loud and maybe a little bit...
A little colorful.
A little too intense.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell that Brandon, out of all of the wrestlers, because they all look like they're having fun in the ring, except Brandon. Brandon looks like he's actually going out there to murder someone.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of his mystique. Like, even Jake Durden, I think, doesn't look as intense as Brandon Espinosa does.
And I will give him credit. He lives Broadway. He lives that because Asa and I go over to talk to him during intermission and
trying to go over and be like, you know, talk to him. I wanted to go because CJ Shine had brought his shirts and I, after this last show, I was like, I need a CJ Shine shirt.
Absolutely.
And I kind of mentioned like, you know, we can tell from seeing them both wrestle at both of the other shows, like this was, that ring did not allow you to really do what both of you normally do because they're, both of them use the ropes to their advantage. They do springboards. They go off the top. And just that ring didn't really accommodate to that at all.
Right.
And I still like, and I wanted to let them know, and I wasn't trying to be like patronizing at all. I just like, you made it work though. And they did.
Yeah. They still worked a great match.
And CJ thanked me. And I mean, so did Espy, but you could tell Espy was probably bothered a little bit more than some of the other guys there about maybe just the setup. Maybe he's just having an off day. I don't really want to speculate that that's just him.
Right.
Or anything. But, no, still, yeah, but he always does have that aura of just intensity.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we won't spend the entire time talking about the show, but it was a great show.
Yeah.
Next time CCW is in town, whichever town it is, make sure you go check it out. Go to Cape Championship Wrestling on Facebook. Vote for where you want them to go next. And God bless them, because it's truly a great, great organization.
I'm so happy this has happened.
Me too.
Yeah.
And even if it...
This has brought a whole, and just even for the show, it has brought a whole new level to us because
we grew
up as wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us except Allie. And that's not a shout at Allie. We introduced her to wrestling more or less. Well, Jordan probably introduced you to wrestling more or less. But for us, it's always been from the outside. Like, we never had that connection. Mm-hmm. We just watched it as fans. To now, I mean, we're not involved. Don't get us wrong. We're not saying that we're a part of the show. We're not.
Jason last week said we were the official podcast, but we don't have any, you know, say in the decision making.
No pull. No.
Yeah.
We still go watch it as fans.
We still go as fans. We pay our tickets.
Yeah. Like, but they pulled that curtain back a little for us, mm-hmm. and we can interact with these guys in ways that we never got to interact with wrestlers before. So for us to learn so much about what they do from them, mm-hmm. it's been humbling.
Amazing.
And just amazing experience.
And not even that, just like to have the chance to, if I told any age me from 9 to 25 that, hey, once a month you're going to have the chance to just go and see a wrestling show, and not just a wrestling show, a damn good wrestling show.
Where they cared about you. Not just your money. They care about you, the fan. Mm-hmm. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of why I think that's where, not to speak for the group, but like, I think that's where some of the frustration comes from, where it's like, so we're trying really hard to, you know, okay, you cheer the good guys, you boo the bad guys, because that's the reaction they're going for. And then to have like a crowd that is
mixed,
not even antagonistic as much as just apathetic.
Yeah.
It's just like, do you not see how hard everyone here is working?
If every time
love
I go to
them all.
When I go to these shows, and it's been every show, not just Chaffee, mm-hmm. but you go to the shows and you see people with their arms crossed the entire time.
Yeah.
Who don't say a word.
It's like, why?
Why are you here? What did you think this was? I remember going to see Clerks 2. In theaters. And there were these two old people, like 70. They got up about 10 minutes in and walked out. And I was like, what did you expect? It's Clerks.
Two.
Did you not see the first one?
Yeah, it's like the people that go to see the second one are the ones that saw the first one.
Anyway, so yeah, great show. Go watch them. Cape Championship Wrestling, look them up on Facebook. Tell them where you want them to go next. And we can't wait for the next show. It hasn't been announced yet. We're all waiting on word. We're hoping there's another one this year, but it may be next year.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. And when we know, you'll know.
Yep.
Of course, at that show, Brandon Barbwire retained the title.
Ish.
Over Austin Lane, who, by the way, after the show, I messaged both those guys. I said, you guys are awesome. You're amazing. Mm-hmm. And I want to, if they're listening right now, I just want to say, we've become very close to Austin, especially. Mm-hmm. Austin's a huge nerd. We all love him. Brandon the same way. We've become friends with him and Billy. And it's just, those guys couldn't be nicer, and I wish nothing but good things.
Because I actually, like, as soon as we left that, I was like, I want to send just everybody a message. But at the same time, it's that same, like, hesitation that I always feel, like, it's about them. I don't want to bother them. Like, I don't want to be that guy.
But, you know, Brandon, and I hope I'm not hurting his reputation, but Brandon is, like, the most thankful person in the world. He said to me that I humbled him my reaction. I'm like, dude, no. You are the man.
Even after that Q&A that he did, where Dalton and I were kind of feeding him questions a little bit, he even was like, so that was good, right? Like, we...
Yeah. Don't, no, it's just like, you shouldn't look to us for approval.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, we're your fans. Like, how is this happening?
And then, like, the cool thing with me and just as much crap as Austin Lane has given me on Facebook... And then whenever we were talking to Billy, and I told Asa this, like, I got spooked because somebody grabbed my arm and I wasn't, like, paying attention. And somebody, like, grabbed my arm pretty hard, and I, like, turned to look, and they were already over here, and it was Austin Lane. And the fact that he, like, interacted with me first was like,
yeah,
that's kind of neat. Like,
you didn't have to hunt him down. You didn't have to bother him.
Yeah, so it's like we're building, like, a really cool kind of, like, symbiotic friendship with these guys that are just, like, they know we are big fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're giving us the opportunity to...
And they're fans of us.
Yeah, and that's the other fantastic
part. Which is just
part.
Like, that's weird.
That's mind-boggling.
That's not how this works, you know?
Because we can totally see you go to a wrestling show, watch these guys bust their ass, and go, oh, those guys are incredible. Mm-hmm. But then when they tell you, do great show, you guys are hilarious, you're entertaining, I go, no, we're not. Like, what's wrong with you?
What show are you listening to?
Like, you listen to the same show that we do, right?
You listened to Nerdist, weren't you?
Yeah.
So they get a thumbs up. Let's talk about thumbs down now. Of Hell in a Cell. Yeah?
I can't even...
I wouldn't say thumbs down. I would say apathetic thumb.
It's literally the exact
Chaffy
same.
Thumb.
It's the same. Chaffy thumb. It's the same thing that we've said every single pay-per-view that WWE's done the last like 2 years.
Good matches, terrible booking.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, and not even terrible booking as much as like no one knew or everyone knew that Rusev wasn't going to win.
Yeah.
But boy, there were so many chances that like,
the way he lost is what upsets me, because, and there were a lot of matches on the show we could talk about and weren't going to just because they were so by the book, by mm-hmm. the numbers, whatever. But Rusev versus Reigns, to me, had the chance to really elevate both of those guys, and it failed to do so, because you had Rusev as the Bulgarian brute, the monster, putting, especially the part where he puts the chain in Roman Reigns' mouth.
Oh, it was vicious looking.
Pulls back on it, and like, that's a great way to end the match. If Roman Reigns taps to a chain through his mouth, I wouldn't say he was weak. But no, instead
of... Or even do the Stone Cold spot. Like,
where
I know,
he passes out.
Yeah, I know people talk about that spot all the time, like, oh, they should have just done it, they should have just done it, but they haven't really done it. And it would make so much sense.
Especially in that match.
Yeah.
That match there. You should have had Rusev go over. But instead, Rusev literally beat Roman Reigns to an inch of his life, and then, after not being able to put him down, Roman Reigns hit a spear off of a...
He jumped off the stairs,
big whoop. One spear put him down, and that was it. And then Rusev's back to whatever.
Which, and I mean,
back to Lana, which, sure.
And to be fair, I mean, like, they're protecting the spear, and he did, like, it's... Rusev took a beating in that match, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But Reigns, at this point, like, we've defended Reigns. Mm-hmm. And I still defend Reigns.
Because that match was really good.
Yeah. He's not a bad wrestler. He's a great wrestler. And he does get a reaction. It's not the reaction they want, but it's the reaction they deserve. But why really? They're really, really trying to push him as John Cena. Really. I didn't really get it until now. Mm-hmm. But when you take this match and combine it with his other matches with Rusev, combine that with his AJ Styles matches, where no matter how much you put on him, he wins anyway. That is frustrating. That will make fans hate him till the end of time.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they cannot see that.
Because he's still getting some cheers.
But imagine what he could get.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like John Cena. Yeah, he's getting cheered. But imagine what he could get if you get him some layers. Show him as vulnerable, which they have lately, by the way.
I think, like, I don't remember what episode it was, but Stone Cold did a podcast. And some, I think it might have been his latest Q&A one that he did. Because he talked about Roman Reigns needs to start selling on the run. He needs to stop selling like Dolph Ziggler and doing just the full-on motionless sell the death. He needs to start just kind of like covering up, constantly moving like Undertaker.
Yeah.
Or Big Show.
Yeah.
Like, if he sold like the big man that he is, I think that would honestly, I do, like, aside from his booking, like, a lot of the complaints that he gets in the ring, I think would just vanish. As opposed to, you know, the spot where he, you know, is laid out for 9 seconds, but then at the last, before the 10 count breaks, he is able
Superman
to,
punch.
Which, Superman Punch just dives back into the ring, which
also,
isn't just a Roman Reigns thing, by the way. That's just a trope in wrestling.
Also, get rid of the douchebag mannerisms. Like, the wink.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, if he were a heel, super. That would work so well. But as a face, the little wink he does and stuff, that just makes him look like an ass.
Yeah.
You know?
But Shannon, he's not a good guy.
Well, he's not.
But he's.
Especially in this feud. Whenever it's literally just like.
Yeah, he's defending his wife.
I'm defending my wife's honor, and now you stole my championship from me.
But you forget, though, that guy is foreign.
Oh, yeah. He does talk with an accent.
Yeah. He ain't American. He don't speak American. That's why he has to be punished. And then there were other matches. They happened. Rollins lost in, what was it, Dalton? How many pay-per-views has Rollins been in now where he has fought for the title in a row?
Like 15.
14 or 15.
Yeah.
Which, not 15 pay-per-views in a row, just for every pay-per-view he was in.
Yeah, yeah. So
he was wrestling for
a
title.
Every pay-per-view he's been in has been for a title for the last over a year.
Which would have been right when he won the belt.
And that's terrible, by the way. Especially when you consider that most of those he's lost now. The past five he's lost. At least. I know because I looked it up.
But then you also have to consider the fact that he won all of the other ones previous to that.
He won some of them. Maybe half.
He probably lost by DQ in a few of them, too.
I feel like he's lost more than he's won lately, for sure.
Oh, lately,
especially
yeah.
on the run he's on.
But like,
it's time to pull him out of the title picture.
His initial title run, he was unstoppable because he had the authority with him.
Oh, yeah. Chicken. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No. That was the bit, but he won all of those matches.
Which is Kevin Owens now, by the way. That hard-fighting prize fighter Kevin Owens that we all fell in love with on the way to the championship is gone, and it's Seth Rollins 2.0.
But it's still loudmouth.
He's still arrogant.
Like, he's still everything I love about Kevin Owens, but yeah, they've now taken away his just like, no, I just want to hit you really hard.
Yeah, which was a great spin on the character.
Now he's best friends with Chris Jericho.
Which is what played into the ending there. Jericho sneaks into the cage, and then if it had been Roman Reigns, he would have beat both of them. You know it. The fact that Rollins lost, at least, says something.
And I, after Hell in a Cell, I assumed they were moving, that's what they were moving into, was the Rollins-Jericho feud.
Yeah.
But then on Raw, it ended up transferring to more of a Rollins Reigns or Jericho Reigns feud for the so Kevin Owens will have the Universal title and then Chris Jericho will wrestle for the United States Championship.
Which I
but now it's all kind of on pause because Survivor Series is the next pay per view, so that's what they're working towards.
And you can't help but feel that this is all really working toward Owens versus Jericho. And sometime,
yeah,
that one of those guys, Jericho, will probably turn good.
Well, because that's the rumor is that Jericho Reign or Jericho Owens will be Jericho's last feud before he takes another break.
Which is good. He's been there for a while now.
He has.
He definitely deserves.
And
a
it's
break.
Been longer than I think they were anticipating.
Well, it's because he's
been
so good.
So good.
Yeah, he's so good at it.
Yeah.
The man reinvents himself almost every time he comes back.
Every single time, and it's always just like, oh man, this is my favorite version of Jericho. And then you go back and look, but wait, look at every other version of Jericho, yeah. And it's been amazing.
I can't think of
that's
a bad.
That's why
run.
He's my number one.
Because whenever you're doing Villains of the Month, I said the Shawn Michaels feud.
Right.
The,
which was so good when he got rid of Y2J.
And then I was thinking about it. I was like, well, you know, I really like this list of Jericho, but I still can't decide if I like that more than that or the one from 2003 Shawn Michaels where he was just the really upset, like...
The whiny little...
Kid, yeah.
So I think my favorite Jericho is... it's not even WWE entrance Jericho because that's a lot of people say that was their favorite when he came out for the first time and was against The Rock. My favorite Jericho was WCW Jericho. I know that was the weakest Jericho, but that also was the first time I saw him. Mm-hmm. That's when he had the 1004 holds.
Oh yeah.
So that Jericho was always about Ralphus. Mm-hmm. That was good stuff.
Arm drag.
That's just good stuff.
God,
right
I
there.
Love that bit still.
The big thing I want to talk about from Hell in a Cell is Sasha Banks and Charlotte.
Yep.
The match that Vince McMahon didn't want to happen, then the match Vince McMahon didn't want to happen is the main event, which they still put in the main event spot, but they really watered it down by talking about the triple main event. Instead of just going, yes, this is the main event, now you have the triple main event.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that took away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they immediately went for the Mick Foley spot at the beginning. Where Charlotte cheap shots her and then hurts her and then she's getting dragged out. She runs back in. I don't mean to cut you off, Don. I just have one simple question. And that is, why is the people that lose always the ones that work the hardest? It feels like. Cause even though Charlotte's a good wrestler and she worked, Sasha took so much punishment in this match. So many spots that she probably didn't have to take just to lose. And I get it. You want to look strong in losing. But there's a difference between looking strong and loss when, say, John Cena wrestles a great match and comes back and is powerful versus her just getting hurt. Because it's not like she took body slams and moves that were clearly designed to look painful but weren't. She took moves that were painful. And someone on, I believe it was on 411 Mania, said that she's going to be retired by 30 if she keeps it up like this. And I, at first, I put it out of my mind. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, even maybe she might not fight exactly like Daniel Bryan, but the two are similar. She's definitely a daredevil. And now I'm thinking, I don't want that to happen.
That was a, just real quick, and I know you have your point, but this is just related to that. There was a rumor coming out that said that she was actively going to start working on adding mass so that, like, so just strengthening her muscles to where, like, that kind of, like, injury, quote unquote, is less likely to happen. So, like, she's going to try to add, you know, strength training and weight training and, you know, add, like I said, adding mass to be able to kind of keep that style going as opposed to just full-on ragdoll.
Yeah, because those suicide dives scare me every time.
Yeah.
It's time to stop.
Don, what were you going
to
say?
Well, to answer your question about how come the people that... What is it?
Work the hardest,
always lose.
Not just work the hardest. That was a mistake.
The way, like, they get beat.
They get hurt.
Hurt the hardest.
Like, Charlotte took bumps, but Charlotte did not take the same level of bumps that Sasha did.
You
feel like if you take more bumps, if you put yourself at risk more, you would probably win. You would be rewarded for that. But Sasha, they give her the title, they take it away. They give her the title,
answer,
they take it away.
It's to make the people who win look better.
I hate that answer. And I know you're right, but I hate that answer. It's like, I hate that the sacrifice has to be made to someone else. That someone's so good that they're being used to sacrifice as a sacrifice to make someone else look better.
I think that was a Stone Cold, that might have been a Stone Cold interview where he was talking to Dolph Ziggler. And he's like, you've got to stop. Like, that's why you're not winning championships, is because you're too good at getting beat up.
Yeah, there's no reason that Sasha should not be champion right now. In fact, they said that Sasha was supposed to win originally, and they actually changed the decision the day of the match. No one knows why.
It's the least Vince. That's just the least surprising.
But I can see Vince seeing more stock in Charlotte Flair than in Sasha Banks. Because Charlotte is, second generation? She's obviously the daughter of the Nature Boy, whereas Sasha is the cousin of Snoop Doggy Dogg or Snoop Lion. I don't know.
I think it's Snoop Lion again.
Haven't kept up with it. But I see more stock in Sasha Banks. The crowd is hot for her. They want her to win. So why do you keep taking the title off of her? Charlotte doesn't need it. You've already established that she's never lost on pay-per-view. She's a two-time champion. She's a long reigning champion. Why are you giving Sasha Banks 1 month title reigns and then giving it back to Charlotte again? Dalton, explain it to me.
Mainly, I was talking to Asa about it whenever Ziggler came out with the Intercontinental Championship last night. I even said, I was just like, you know, I'm going to sound like the worst person right now, but he's a lot less interesting with the belt.
So you think Sasha's less interesting with the belt?
They're way better chasing it.
Or do you think that Charlotte is less interesting without it?
No. I'm going to put it completely on Sasha, and it's the whole Dolph Ziggler thing. That's why I just kind of shut up whenever he started saying it, because it's my exact point of, like, the reason that your Dolph Ziggler's, your Sasha Banks, and I'll put them in the same category. They both sell like champions. They make everybody they wrestle look good. That is their detriment. Chris Jericho has the same detriment. He is a 6-time world champion who deserves to be an 18-time world champion. The reason he isn't is because he looks way better losing than he does winning. We can say that because we watched WrestleMania 32. We can say that because we watched WrestleMania 29 where he lost to Fandango. Like,
Fandango.
Anytime you have a wrestler like a Sasha Banks, a Dolph Ziggler, Chris Jericho, they are made to lose. And it's not correct. I don't like it. I think Sasha Banks should have held on to that belt for a lot longer.
Here's my problem with that, is that you're right. First off,
And that's the problem, is that I'm right by saying it.
Yeah, but how many times have we seen WWE especially take someone that probably doesn't deserve the spot they're in, but they see something in them? So then they have them go over the people that the crowd wants. I can think of a couple names off the top of my head. Kozlov, Great Khali, Nia Jax to an extent. I think Nia Jax is good, though. Don't get me wrong. But you always see these guys that aren't as good as the people they're beating. But the WWE sees more in them than the people they're beating. But Sasha could make them money right now if they kept the title on her.
I would counter that with, those are very short-term examples. Because they absolutely do happen. Especially guys like Kozlov and Khali. But I think their bigger problem comes from the long-term. Because we talked about this, I think, last week with like Jason and Lee and all them. Of the, you know, the CM Punk versus the John Cena, the Daniel Bryan versus the Roman Reigns, the Macho Man Randy Savage versus the Hulk Hogan.
Right.
You know, you have these. So yeah, while the short, like, they do really kind of push these people real hard, real fast, 8 times out of 10, that's a terrible fraction. Shut up. 9 times out of 10. it's the lowest common denominator. No.
Could have done 4 out of 5.
They kind of realize it, and then that's how Brodus Clay becomes Funkasaurus.
That's how Dolph Ziggler loses and loses and loses, but then wins. Because it's like, oh, okay, well, the experiment failed, but the crowd likes Ziggler. Let's push him. Wait, we have a new experiment.
Right.
Let's feed Ziggler to him again.
Right.
And I don't want Sasha Banks to go down that
same way.
But they're
still going to like Ziggler.
Yeah.
We know they're still going to like Ziggler.
Zack Ryder.
Up until the fans are broken on him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, because like the fall, it bothered me the amount of negative reactions Dolph Ziggler was getting in that feud with Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship. It'd be like, okay, so the Cubs are currently in the World Series, Game 7. Looks like they're probably going to win tonight.
Holy smokes.
Dalton,
look that up while Ace is talking.
That would be like Chicago being mad about it instead of like...
celebrating.
Like, yeah, they're going to be celebrating. They're going to be ecstatic to see that this team that they have followed and cared about for years and years totally do nothing but lose, and now they get a big win. They're going to be happy. They should be happy. But wrestling fans see Dolph Ziggler get a WWE Championship match like, oh, he better not win.
And that's...
It's going to be so... Like, I don't understand at all.
I think that comes from the fact that the analogy you just made with the Cubs are a sports team. They go out there every year and play their hardest to win. They play to win. There's no script. I think most wrestling fans, or at least a good portion of them, let me say that, know that wrestling is scripted. And they know that the reason Ziggler is losing is because they don't see him as a winner. So when you tell the crowd enough that, hey, this guy's not as good as this guy. We think this guy's better. Eventually the crowd's going to go, cause I did. I went, okay, I'm done with Ziggler. Like you've pushed him and you've taken it back. You've pushed him and taken it back. Zack Ryder's on the same way right now. If Zack Ryder, if they push him one more time, like he's a star and then take it away from him, I'm done. I don't care anymore. You know, you could tease me so many times. And then if you don't give me the carrot, I'm just going to lay down. I'm a turtle. That's what we do. Dalton, how's that World Series going, by the way?
I can't find the score, which is really annoying because like Facebook was updating me the entire night until now. But here are the posts I'm seeing. I can't believe this World Series game right now. Jake, who was sitting with us at Cape Championship Wrestling, said, well, it looks like it's going on another year, so it'd be like 103
okay,
or 104.
So the score is currently the bottom of the 8th, 6-6. I just typed two words.
They were winning 5-1 at one point.
I just, by the way, I just typed in Cubs Indians into Google. Or you could just, it did just right there.
Or you could have just typed in World Series. You could have typed
so
in baseball.
Many options. You just went to Facebook to hope that your friend was posting the
you
actual.
No, you probably could have posted Sammy Sosa, and somehow that would have given you the answer.
No, it's they okay, were. It's okay. It's over now.
Oh, so see, really, yeah, that right there. See, they were giving that one.
Okay, so that's our complaints. That's our complaints about Hell in a Cell. By the way, we're 40 minutes in.
Oh, sorry, guys.
All right, let's go through these.
We didn't get to talk about TNA. I have to talk about TNA.
We're going to go through the list real quick. All right, here's rapid fire. This is the quick session. No spin zone here.
Fast count.
Biggest news. Undertaker's going to return 11/15.
Yes, the 11/15, 900th episode of SmackDown.
Yes, which is phenomenal, by the way. That SmackDown is 900 episodes. That's incredible. We here at Podzilla are creeping up on 400 soon, so whatever.
But WWE, we actually put out 5 shows a week. So.
Well,
and then it's like, well.
Are we going to get Undertaker?
Including a new one. Yes. Yes.
You heard it here first.
I'm going to have an Undertaker come in and measure me.
So the Undertaker.
Yeah. Undertaker's coming back November 15th.
Hey, Undertaker.
We don't know if it's for a one-shot because of the 900th episode or if it's a build-up to Mania because it is Mania season's coming up.
It's coming up. I think it's too close to really build something.
Well, unless they're going for a long build.
I'm willing to bet it's a to get to another thing I know you wanted to mention, it's probably going to be a Curt Hawkins tries to do something and Taker tombstones him
like a couple years ago when they had him and Kane come out
happy appearance and then he's just off until something maybe happens for WrestleMania,
which better be Cena. Has to be Cena. What else is there? Although what was the rumor? It was going to be Undertaker versus I don't know. We'll have to go back to it, but
Braun Strowman.
Ew I don't want that to happen to the Undertaker.
I don't want that to happen to Braun Strowman
also.
Here's a young gun, let's bury him too. Anyway,
I mean, let's completely make sure the crowd never cheers him by having him beat the Undertaker.
Well,
there's no winning in that.
He's
scenario.
No Lesnar. But I did want to talk about that thing next.
I'd be willing to question that.
What, that Braun Strowman's no Lesnar?
Yeah, I mean, in popularity right now, and arguably match quality. Actually, no. Braun Strowman squashes of the 3 Mile Island dudes, where he literally just threw the guy
more
like a half court shot, was more entertaining than anything Brock Lesnar has done in the last 2 years.
I don't disagree with that.
City.
Yeah,
boy, that's all it is.
That's an extended.
But
stay
I'm also
at this
willing
point.
To bet that Brock Lesnar probably wouldn't try to start something with Braun Strowman.
I don't know. I think Lesnar would. I think Lesnar.
I mean,
crazy.
He might, but I don't think it would go as well as he would hope.
Well, there's
all?
A,
but that's all just conjecture.
Yeah, there's a big difference between being big and being a fighter.
Yeah.
Just look at like when Chris Jericho took Goldberg down, legit.
Or whenever Lesnar decided to get in Chris Jericho's face. Mainly what we're saying is don't mess with Jericho.
Jericho's a little
paragon
badass.
Paragon of virtue, number one.
All right, I have a problem with this. Let's talk about this. Grinds my goats. Okay.
I'm so confused.
Curt Hawkins made his long-awaited debut on SmackDown.
Good.
To lose to Dolph Ziggler in 8 seconds.
Good.
Not good.
I'm happy.
Not good. And here's why it's not good. I said this before the show. You want to know why you can't make stars nowadays in WWE land, in McMahon land? It's because you hype them up for months. Months they hyped Curt Hawkins coming back to SmackDown. To have him lose in a throwaway match to Dolph Ziggler.
But I'm happy they did that.
Here's my counter.
Why would you be happy about that?
No, here's my counter to that. Curt Hawkins was never going to be a star to WWE. I personally love Curt Hawkins. I kind of hate what they're doing with him. With the they're like, oh well, Tyson Kidd can't wrestle anymore, so let's give him the facts thing.
Over the top.
Yeah, it's so over the top. It's dumb. I'm not a fan of what they're doing. It was the same thing with like, I love Gallows and Anderson, but I hated the fart doctor, ball doctor thing they were doing.
I hate that. That's that. How many shows now we've said that word?
Yeah, but I really hate that. But I don't think that Curt Hawkins was coming in. I don't think he was ever going to be like a legitimate. I think this was harking back to the rumors of they're going to bring in older guys to go to have the current talent go over.
Sure. I get that. But you said you don't think he was going to be a star. Why not even give him the chance? And that's the part I don't understand. They'll push people to the moon that we all go, well, why are they pushing him? You know, they'll give these guys chances that don't seem like they're ever going to amount to anything. But for whatever reason, like Kozlov. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of liked Kozlov a little, especially when we did the Santino stuff.
Double E.
That was kind of funny. But at the same time, who is probably going to be more entertaining in the long run? Kurt Hawkins or Kozlov? Kurt Hawkins. He's a good-looking guy. He's a good wrestler.
That's entirely fair.
He's funny. They could do something with him. But instead of ever giving him the chance to do it, they immediately cut his legs out from him. They're going to have him lose probably constantly. And then when they try to push him as a star, months down the line, when they give him a push, they'll go, well, he doesn't connect with the fans. Well, of course he doesn't connect with the fans because you screwed him from the beginning. It's like what they're trying to do with Cesaro. Well, Cesaro can't make it because you won't let him. You don't even give him a chance to make it. You cut his feet out from under him every time he gets started. And that's why I hate that Kurt Hawkins lost in 8 seconds. It makes no sense from any standpoint. Was it a funny moment? Sure, if you're a Ziggler fan, you probably laughed at it. But as someone that wants to see good wrestling and wants to see new and fresh stuff, it pisses me off.
Yeah, I'm still holding out hope that Kurt Hawkins takes out Mojo Rawley and Ryder and
it's going to happen. Forever.
It should.
They teased it like 2 weeks before he got released, too.
You know it good and well is what's going to happen is Ryder's going to turn heel on Mojo Rawley with Kurt Hawkins. Raleigh's going to take them both out and then go for the Intercontinental belt.
Sure.
I'm going to need you to go play in traffic. Put that into the universe.
Oh, you knew that was going to happen.
Surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me. Why not?
Oh, no. It wouldn't surprise me at all, but now I'm just...
I hate McMahon land. I want to go back to CCW.
McMahon.
In other news, I heard a noise and I thought it was a ghost. Anyway, no, I thought it was Zach. Zach threatened to show up at the show and I really don't want him to. Long story. Anyway,
That's it.
He bad, we done.
Remember the cruiserweight on Raw?
Exclusive to Raw. Don't mind Rich Swann being on NXT.
Especially with Noé José.
Or TJ Perkins, your former cruiserweight champion.
Well, don't worry about it, folks, because it looks like they are moving the cruiserweights off of Raw and giving them their own show.
Well, that's the thing. So they announced just today that 205 Live is going to be added to WWE Network programming.
Now, explain that title to me first. Do you know?
It's the 205 weight limit.
Yeah.
I was scrolling through Reddit looking up trying to find news because for this week, and I just saw 205 Live coming to the network, and I was like, okay, whatever. That doesn't sound interesting. Never connected the 205 weight limit to the name of the show.
Gotcha.
But so what this is there's so many question marks coming on it because the WWE.com release doesn't say anything about them no longer being on Raw. It says that this is going to be a further platform for the cruiserweights, which in my brain translates to, well, we have 3 full hours that we can't even do pay-per-view announcements, or do anything with this whole roster of guys that we have. So we have to put all of that on Twitter. So we're going to give them a network show. And then they can also have matches on Raw.
I feel
throw away 6-man tags that no one's going to be invested in.
I feel like this is their way of trying to drum up excitement for the Cruiserweights. That maybe they're thinking, okay, well, they're not connecting on Raw because they're not, by the way, for whatever reason.
The reason is because they're not given an actual chance.
There we go.
That's
again.
That's the exact reason.
That TJ Perkins, Brian Kendrick match at the pay-per-view, which I thought was great.
So good.
You can hear a pin drop.
Chaffy crowd.
Dalton.
And I mentioned this to Asa. If they use 205 Live and then they just make the Cruiserweight Championship exclusive for the pre-shows on pay-per-views, I'd be happy. But if they do it to where, like, the Cruiserweights show up on Raw every once in a while, it would remind me of the time that it was... Oh, I can't think of who it was. Oh, the Fatal 4-Way. It was a tag match between Kid Breeze versus Zayn Neville right before their Fatal 4-Way takeover match. And the crowd was so excited for it. I think that would be a lot better for the Cruiserweights than what they're doing now.
I hate to say it, but I think the Cruiserweights probably would belong more in an opening match to get the crowd hyped.
Yeah, so like put them on the pre-show or have them like once a month be on Monday Night Raw. Give them 205 Live because, you know, NXT has shown that you can have a good wrestling show 1 hour a week.
And that you can also carry over that success from NXT to the mainstream.
But here's the problem with having the crowd get invested in 205 Live and the Cruiserweights. The Live is going to be aired on the network Tuesday nights at 10 Eastern, 9 Central. That sounds familiar because that's immediately after SmackDown. It is going to be held in front of the SmackDown crowd. who just got done watching 2 hours of SmackDown.
Wait, this isn't live, is it?
It's live.
205 so Live is live. I know that's a stupid question because of that, of it in the title, but I don't doubt that they would record it and just say it was live.
Well, either way, so if, even if they do something like that, it will either be in front of the SmackDown, they, the way they rooted it in the press release is in front of the SmackDown Live crowd. So it could be taped an hour before SmackDown and then just aired after, or it's going to be after a SmackDown taping. That's like, so SmackDown airs, and then they go into the Cruiserweight show.
That's a terrible idea. So you want that quiet reaction the whole show.
The average fan who doesn't care about them on Raw is not going to stay an extra hour after they see AJ Styles lay out Dean Ambrose in the main event of SmackDown.
Yeah.
They're going to go and beat the traffic. So the Cruiserweights, still exclusive to Raw, will be wrestling in front of the SmackDown crowd, appearing on NXT, and then on their own network show.
I truly believe that, by the way, give the Cruiserweights their own show and leave them there.
What comes after SmackDown right now?
Talking Smack.
Not anymore.
Yeah. I'm sorry, no, 205 Live.
What is Talking Smack going to just disappear now that they have Raw Talk? Like, oh, hey, they're doing a cool thing. You're doing a cool thing?
We're doing a cool thing. Yeah, they co-opt it real quick.
Or are they going to hope that people are not only going to sit through a taping of 205 Live, which you should, because it's going to be awesome. I have no doubt about that. But then have to watch that and then wait a full hour after SmackDown ends to watch Talking Smack? Because that was what I loved about Talking Smack so many times.
It followed right after.
It comes right like someone who was in the main event comes out of breath, like catching the breath. AJ Styles nursing the Jesus seam after he got crotched by Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. Like, well, November 29th, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
We'll all find out.
And I'm... I'm going to, like, just say that they're filming NXT out of Florida at Full Sail University, one of the best, like...
graphic designer colleges in the
One of the best graphic designer colleges. They have, they obviously have enough...
I wanted to go there.
Like, they have enough studio things that they can record NXT. Why don't you just put all the Cruiserweights in Florida and record the show live there? They can still call it 205 Live.
If they're on... Because, well, I mean, even still, even if they're appearing on Monday, they're still going to have to then travel immediately to SmackDown or then immediately to back to Florida from...
Which a lot of the wrestlers live in that area because that's where the Performance Center is. Like, a lot of the newer guys, that's where they live.
Not only that, but you have one or two matches on Raw for the Cruiserweights. I could see them having that one match on Raw, and then the guys on 205 Live are different. You know, you might have Perkins versus...
But how great would it be to see something set up on Raw that then plays out on 205 Live or vice versa?
It would be, but, you know, how much credit are you going
to
give
them? WWE doesn't need a full hour to dedicate to these guys if you have a 3 hour Raw that you are struggling to fill with content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. But we were just talking about how much we like seeing the Cruiserweight guys on NXT. It would be so easy to just have 205 Live, take them off Raw, have them on 205 Live, have them split their time with NXT.
See, and I would rather them do something like that or like the Cruiserweight Classic. Just do, okay, Wednesday night, you get NXT at 7, you get Cruiserweight Live, you get 205 Live at 8.
That's the best idea.
Or just so much sense.
Because remember how popular the Cruiserweight Classic was?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
We couldn't
wait
to watch it.
Yeah.
So why fill another day that already has 3 hours or 2 hours of wrestling with a third hour unless they're just trying to match Raw?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't.
It's stupid. It makes no
sense.
And
also ties in with the Cruiserweights. WWE has stopped pursuing the trademarks for Drew Gulak and Tony Nese.
I was just about to mention that, actually, which makes me real sad because...
Doesn't necessarily mean that they're not picking up contracts as much as... It could be bad news in the sense that, okay, we don't want to use these guys. Or it could be great news that we want to use these guys, but they get to keep their name.
Which with WWE, I almost... don't see that
but
happening.
But there's so many, Lince Dorado, TJ Perkins.
Rich Swann.
Brian Kendrick.
Cedric Alexander. Like, a lot of these Cruiserweight guys seem to really be able to keep their name. Which is amazing and unprecedented, but I'm so excited about it. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, unless they have the rights to those names now, and then when they leave WWE, they can't use them anymore. See Dudley Boys.
Right.
When they went to TNA. When they suddenly became Bully Ray.
Which is why I don't think this is immediately bad news. So,
well, I mean, the Dudley Boys caught that from ECW to WWE and then WWE to TNA.
Yeah, but they still lost their names.
Yeah, they completely lost
their
names.
Like, for a guy like Brian Kendrick, I don't know if that's his actual name. So some of these guys, TJ Perkins, I could see them keeping their own names if that's the real names. But if that guy's name is Grand Metalik for real, just give him all the titles. Because his parents clearly loved him.
They knew. That was foreshadowing.
All right.
Brian David Kendrick is his name.
So he can keep that name if he goes anywhere.
Well, I mean, it's his name. So.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Vince doesn't have that big of a set. One last bit of bad news since we're on the topic. Austin Aries is out until the first quarter of 2017.
Yep. He has an orbital fracture after a stray kick by Shinsuke Nakamura at an NXT house show.
Which, again, just goes to show you that this fake sport, at any time, you can Something can go wrong.
And not only that, but it kind of reaffirms that thing that Daniel Bryan was talking about, like guys like Nakamura and Bobby Roode and Hideo Itami getting injured again. Like, these guys have so many miles on their bodies that it's kind of silly for them to be getting hurt in front of these smaller crowds when they are kind of on a limited, you know, they have a clock ticking against them.
Because a lot of these guys that you're talking about, they're not people like, I know he's been in it for a while, but like Roman Reigns or people that are new that are being trained by WWE. How long has Shinsuke and Nakamura been wrestling Dalton? At least, what, 5-10 years?
Longer than
15.
Yeah.
He's been wrestling for a long time.
And a lot of those guys are like that. Punk was like that. You know, everyone was like, oh, Punk's here. But like, Punk has been wrestling for a long time.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the prime example of he got so hurt that he had to retire so young.
Yeah.
So imagine if like 3/4 of his WWE time was spent in NXT.
Right. Yeah. Getting hurt in front of 200 people, 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you wouldn't think of Nakamura. Remember, he spent time in Samoa Joe's dojo.
He does not remember that.
Your dojo.
I don't remember that.
Okay, let's talk about the thing Ace wanted to talk about so bad. Real quick, the first thing. TNA ceases airing on Challenge TV in UK. The interesting story about that is that I was not aware they were airing there.
Yeah, they had their time slot.
I'm
was
also
on
not sure what UK means.
United Kingdom.
I know.
it's a joke. So them airing in London, but they weren't airing on Thursday nights. They were airing on Friday nights. TNA is losing this deal because of spoilers. They think that the reason people aren't watching their show is because they can stream it online or just read results after it airs in America. So instead of just like, hey, maybe just watch it when we present it, you know, wouldn't that be great? They're just like, no one cares anyway, so bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, so TNA
that's from
just
Empire. No, it's not! It's from Friday! Sorry. That annoys me.
You were a little heated about that, weren't you?
It's a long story.
I can tell.
But the biggest news about TNA is that they beat Billy Corgan.
Yay!
They finally won one.
This is a big win for Dixie Carter and no one else. EC3, Mike Bennett, and a couple other like established TNA stars all tweeted vague, not so vague disappointments. I think Mike Bennett's was actually, looks like it's back to bad business as usual.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this,
and does this, all right, I don't mean to interrupt you, but answer me this first. Does this mean Billy Corgan is done with TNA?
Not yet.
Other than the fact that they still owe him money.
Still no. He's still acting president, but now some of the stuff that came to light during this suit is okay. It's kosher. So like them trying to actively sell it from underneath him. Like now they can do whatever they want without having to go through him. So this suit was actually the restraining order against Dixie and TNA, the company, because he found out that they were going behind his back, what he thought was illegally, to sell the company. The judge ruled that he was a predatory lender, in the sense that he knew TNA would never be able to pay him back. So he just kind of did all these conditions, that would then favor him immediately. Which, I mean, if you look at kind of like, that's kind of true, but at the same time, boo Dixie, so just give it to him.
Yeah.
Because
he cares, clearly.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying, because I sent myself a couple things that I'm trying to look. But it looks like the agreement he signed with Dixie on the last loan he gave them was voided because it didn't meet state requirements. So that was them kind of pulling it in, like, oh, well, this contract was illegal. Even though we signed it, it's illegal. His claim of insolvency wasn't met because the information brought before the judge didn't point to them being insolvent because of deals that are tentative that could bring in money. Even though it seems like with all these lawsuits against them, they have so many other deals in the works that they could still become profitable if given the chance to see them through. It just kind of maybe seems like Billy was like, okay, well, this is the date. That's the hard date, as opposed to like, well, no, you have to see what these other deals bring in. But even if that was the case, the state would have nullified the contract.
Right.
So now it's Aerolux's company. Corgan's could take some sort of 36% share. I don't entirely understand that. What is happening with my phone? Stop it. I need you to not do this. He's also not done trying to take TNA. Like, he still is involved in the company. He's still very much wants to control it, but this is just, he has a farther battle to go.
You know what this is? I saw this movie where the mother has the kid, but she's a terrible mother, and the father's desperately trying to get the kid because he loves it so much, but he doesn't have a job, so the judge doesn't want to give him the kid. He thinks the kid should stay with the mother, even though she doesn't care. She's doing drugs. She's out of her mind. She's smoking crack in the bathroom while the kid's out there trying to eat.
Mm-hmm.
TNA is the kid.
Right.
Dixie Carter is the crack mother. And Billy Corgan is the poor father. Did you see that movie? I think Billy punched the kid.
Because he didn't care. Yeah. I love that Billy Corgan, former lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins, is the poor father.
I'm pretty sure he's still the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins, too.
Are they still making music?
Probably.
I mean,
Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins. Homer Simpson, smiling politely.
It also looks like another thing is that, so Billy Corgan is supposed to get a $1.8 million loan returned, but apparently there was some sort of corporate transaction fee, which, going off the court case, looks like that's an additional 50%, so that's another $900,000 that they're supposed to owe him. But TNA has said they will pay him back his original loan, but not the $900,000.
Speaking of which, Hulk Hogan settles with Gawker for $31 million plus some percentage of their bankruptcy deal.
Yep.
So congratulations, Hulkster. We'll see you back in WWE soon.
He's already on the network.
Good. Like, he should be on the network.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. We all agree on that.
He spent his time.
He's earned his place in history, yeah.
I'm trying to see this other thing. Where did it go? I'm so bad at this. I'm sorry.
Dalton, how's that score?
It was supposed to be so his initial loan was supposed to be repaid yesterday,
right.
November 1st.
Yes, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Nothing has been revealed or come out yet. I'm sure as soon as we finish recording, it'll be...
Of course, TNA, every time.
TNA burns that money on and her in front of his house or something.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
That'll give us something to talk about next week.
We'll have to wait a whole week for it.
But nothing has come out of that. That also doesn't necessarily, that may not actually even write him out of the company if that loan is repaid, or he could turn down the loan. I'm not, there's so much going on.
What
with
a
it.
Strange story that TNA has turned into.
They do have 12 Impact Wrestling episodes, set to air or to record through, as noted previously, the company has dates in January for Universal Studios in Orlando. We previously reported January 4th, the date is actually a load-in date, so the actual tapings would be from the 5th, including a live episode, and they're going to try and shoot 12 episodes of Impact that week.
Oh, my God.
12?
That's a lot of Impact.
Which would also...
You think it loses its impact after so many episodes in a row?
How could someone in all 12 of those episodes, like if you have a guy like
EC3
or Mike Bennett, or if Cody Rhodes is still there, because it looked like his stint in TNA is already just kind of that one and done.
That's sad too. That's real sad.
I mean, he got to wrestle someone that was on his bucket list.
Who was it?
Mike Bennett. Miracle.
Yeah,
yeah. But so it
also,
looks like
real quick. Maria said she's retiring.
Yeah.
Which related to Mike Bennett, his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And good for her.
Yeah, she really came up from a diva search contestant to a legitimate, like,
wrestling
icon-ish type character, you know. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to her, and it's always sad to see people retire.
And one of the live episodes for TNA would be Thursday, March 30th, which could be during WrestleMania week, since that's in Orlando.
So, moral of the story is TNA is still alive, but for how long?
Yeah,
it's like the end of that Radioactive Man comic. The world is saved, but for how long?
Yeah.
Speaking of Radioactive, they are the cockroach of wrestling at this point.
They really, really are.
Yeah.
And we've always said, we don't want to see people lose their jobs. Yeah. Two, whenever you only have one big dog, that severely limits the places people can go. Brandon talked about that, you know, the less places there are to go, the less options he has.
Right.
These guys don't want to wrestle in Chaffee forever.
Right.
You know, as much as they love the crowd, and they do, we can confirm that. They love the crowd. You know, it's every wrestler's dream to make it. So.
And it's the same thing. Like, selfishly, no, I want these guys around here forever, because I want to be going to Cape Championship Wrestling shows forever.
I
want to
see Hollis for the rest of my life.
Right. But at the same time, I know that, like, Austin Lane, Brandon Barbar, Billy, Hollis, Jake Durden.
Every single one of them, except
of them.
One. Big Baby, don't know.
I think it's the one time you don't want to say his name.
I'm not going to say his name.
Just everyone there, like, they deserve, like, to be on a platform that has just nationwide audience.
Yes. Yeah,
because they
absolutely
could thrive there.
Yeah, those guys are so good at what they do. Mm-hmm. One last thing before we head out of here, because we are a little bit over. Lesnar and Goldberg. We got to talk about it just real quick. Goldberg, and I, more so, was it last week? Did we talk about it last
week?
Yeah,
we talked about the Lesnar, the Heyman-Lesnar thing.
It still boggles my mind that they tried to get that reaction
that.
In
with
Minnesota.
With him wearing a Minnesota Vikings colored t-shirt. Yes. Yeah, stupid.
This week.
Dummy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This week, Goldberg made his confrontation with Paul Heyman, ended up spearing Rusev.
Spearing Heyman
and jackhammering Rusev. Mm-hmm. Apparently, a lot of ring rust there. Goldberg even went online and was like, yeah, it's ring rust. I don't care. I'm just pumped to be out there. And a lot of people are going, oh, this match is going to be terrible, just from what they saw on Raw. And some people in our group are kind of worried about that.
I said the match was going to be terrible from the beginning. And yes, sir. Monday did not change my mind, but it also didn't make me think it would be any more terrible.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely think because the way that he tripped doing Muay Thai knees to Rusev, I genuinely think that could have just been a slip.
Absolutely.
That would have happened. That could have happened to anyone. It could have happened to Chris Jericho. Well, probably not Chris Jericho because he's the greatest of all time.
But everybody makes mistakes.
Right.
Yeah. Mr. 100 has slipped up a couple times.
So I'm willing to give him a pass on that. The reason I think the match is going to be bad is, yes, Goldberg has not wrestled in however long.
12 years.
But at the same time, Brock Lesnar is going to be just as at fault if this match is bad.
That's my concern. I'm not even worried about Goldberg. I'm worried about Lesnar. Because if Lesnar rests on his laurels and just a suplex city, I don't care.
No one cares.
I mean, give me a match.
It could be interesting. He might unsafely elbow him in the head and concuss him and make him bleed everywhere.
And Bret Hart would be like, yes, revenge.
Retribution.
The long con.
You see his ghost appear on the Titantron, like behind Brock Lesnar posing. I know he's not dead.
I don't like this game anymore.
I was doing like the Star Wars New Hope, like him proudly looking over.
Also, I just want to point out that whether or not it's a bad match or not, this is a spectacle match. No one's going into this match expecting
a five-star classic.
Jericho Michaels. This is going to be Lesnar Goldberg.
It's the exact same thing for the last like 6 years when everyone was hyped for Undertaker versus Sting at WrestleMania.
It wouldn't have been good.
It would have been a spectacle.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to go to this match because I want to see Lesnar suplex. I want to see Goldberg jackhammer, and whatever happens, it's whatever. We'll stay tuned to that. We didn't get to go over the Survivor Series card.
Which is fine because it's still like 2 weeks, three
weeks
away.
There's still some mystery partners. We'll talk more about that next week.
Because I didn't know if we would even have enough to fill an hour. So
yeah, 40 minutes on the first two topics.
Nailed it.
Yeah. All right. We're out of here, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with more information next week. Stay tuned tomorrow where Pokemon Month really starts off. Brought to you by Gaming Grounds here in Cape Girardeau and Jackson, where you can pick up all the latest and greatest titles. Asa.
For now.
Thank you. And Dalton, before we head out of here, what's that score?
6-6, middle of the ninth.
It's a barn burner. By now, let's just assume, because by the time you listen to the show, the game will be over.
No. Do you want to record two endings? Oh, Cubs, World Series champions for the first time in 933 years.
Good job, Cubs.
Congratulations, Chicago Cubs. You broke the curse. We couldn't be more proud of you. Have a great night, guys. All right, how about those Indians?
Good job, Cleveland.
Cleveland, you beat them. Lives on.
You can continue to make those 3-1 comeback jokes.
Yeah. Suck at Chicago. St. Louis forever.
And you know what? Drew Carey's right. Cleveland rocks.
Thank you guys for listening. Have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow.